Cinema Chat Podcast, your source for all movie news, reviews, and opinions on movies past, present, and future.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Cinema Chat Podcast. I'm Brent.
And I'm Rob.
And this week's review is going to be on Terminator Genisys, the newest, best Terminator movie to date. Let's not get carried away. Okay. Yeah. It's the newest. That's what we're going to be doing this week. We're trying something a little different. It's a little experimental episode. I was totally against seeing this movie, and Rob definitely wanted to see it, so we're going to do this in a different style. Rob's seen it, I have not, and we're going to go from there. I'm going to give you all the reasons I didn't see it, and Rob's going to shoot me down, probably.
I don't think it'll be that technical, but we'll do our best.
I didn't watch any movies this week, unless you count the Horrid Henry movie on Netflix that I just watched with my kids. That's the only movie I watched this week. But I'm a big Buffy fan, so I started rewatching the series with my girlfriend who hasn't seen it, and it's glorious late 90s network television stuff. It's been a little bit of fun to get back into that and how ridiculous it is. But that's really all I've watched this week. I've watched that and a few things on TV, and that's it. Did you watch anything other than the Terminator movie?
I caught this new show on the USA Network that caught my eye on YouTube, about a couple of weeks back. It's called Mr. Robot. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah, I saw a commercial for it.
Yeah, it has Christian Slater in it.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
And I like it a lot. I caught the second episode was this week, and I'm really digging it. It's kind of like, reminds me of Person of Interest.
Yeah.
If you ever watch that show on CBS, it's kind of like that without all the guns and the shooting. It's more of like on the computer social engineering type of security.
Yeah.
Drama.
So it's like your basic procedural show. Along the lines of like a CSI kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a CSI, but more, it's kind of like a more on the hacking, criminal.
Yeah, they've got software side. They've got that new, they just started that new CSI Cyber this year. It's got Patricia Arquette and James Vanderbeek and Bow Wow. Yeah, Bow Wow.
Yeah. Haven't seen him since Tokyo Drift. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a few episodes of that. I could get behind some of that stuff. It's a mindless kind of thing.
Do you know if Bow Wow came back for that the Fast 7 with Lucas Black to do that extra scene?
He did not.
No.
They pulled I think we talked about this. They just pulled like the parts with Bow Wow in it were straight from Tokyo Drift.
Okay.
And like whenever you're watching it, whenever I was watching the theater, like you could see the huge difference between like the grain quality and the film. I don't know if they shot Furious 7 like completely digitally, but you can totally see the difference in the grain between the two scenes. It just looked really out of place.
Right. Yeah, they probably did do film it different.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I mean, it's been 8 years in between, so a lot of stuff changes in 8 years.
You know that the director who did the majority of the Fast and Furious movies is now doing the new Star Trek movies.
Yeah, Justin Lin.
Yeah.
Star Trek Beyond?
Yeah, I was gonna mention that in the movie news.
Oh,
but
getting ahead of me.
Yeah, let's just jump right into the movie news and they have officially confirmed that the next Star Trek movie, which is Star Trek 3, they officially released the title as Star Trek Beyond, but directed by Justin Lin, because they kicked out Robert Orci for it because his script was like too Star Trek-y.
Shame on him.
yeah. What is he trying to do?
Have they released any kind of plot synopsis or anything like that?
No, they just started. They just started filming that movie, and we mentioned some movie news about that last time. That you know, the actors signed up for a fourth film, and
got their big raise,
and got a raise. But the rest of the cast, like Simon Pegg and the others, it hasn't been confirmed if they are going to sign up for the next movie. But I guess they're taking a wait and see approach on how the third one works out before they sign up for the fourth one.
I can't blame them.
Yeah, because I some actors, they don't want to get locked in into something if other opportunities open up to them. That's what's happening with a lot of the actors that are with the X-Men series. That they just, they just want to get out of it, their contractual obligation, because, they want to do other stuff, probably make more money because they're not locked in, to whatever they signed up for originally.
Well, that's like with Jennifer Lawrence. They tried to lock her in, long term, and she only signed 3 movies, and she said she's out after those 3.
Nicholas Holt is the same.
Yeah, he's definitely still just the 3, and I think that's the way they should do it. I'm not a fan of these huge, 9-10 movie deals that Marvel's doing. Right. I get why they're doing it, but I don't understand why the actors, especially the big name actors, are locking in at that. I don't know why they would want to tie themselves into something long term.
I think for some actors, even though they're big names, that those movies become their bread and butter, where they make their money, and then that allows them to go off and do their little projects and
let them go do The Judge.
so on and so forth. But, they don't expect, if they're not expecting to do big gains or big money on those side projects, this is where, they can, consistently bring in some cash flow. Whereas some other people who are probably not as famous use this as a vehicle to bring them up, a couple of levels. I'm not sure if you're aware of, they have the ABCD list for actors. And, once they get to that level, they just want to jump into new stuff and kind of get in on off on their own.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be associated because, actors don't want to get typecasted into a certain role and then only be offered those type of roles. They want to be able to do, as much as possible when it comes to work.
Yeah, and I think, it's that typical, a lot of actors say, it's 2 for you, 1 for me. They'll do a couple of the, where they get their cash flow in, and then they'll go do one where they don't make hardly anything. sort of like Jonah Hill did 21 Jump Street and then went and did Wolf of Wall Street. So, you get, you make your big bang, and then you go get your money, and then you go do your own thing, and then you come back and you get your money, you trade off. And then, I guess you would say, maybe Sebastian Stan or somebody is someone that's trying to use it as a vehicle, probably. Chris Hemsworth. I mean, Chris Hemsworth was pretty much nothing before Thor.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he's huge.
Yeah, Red Dawn didn't help him when he was in that one.
I mean, it didn't help, but it didn't detriment him. Right. Black Hat wasn't great either. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw that. it was too much. You know, I'm a fan of Michael Mann, but it was too much, like, all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyways, let's, you know, keep it on the on that note, since we brought up some Marvel stuff. The latest Ant-Man trailer makes a lot of references to the Avengers. So I wonder that, are they just making those acknowledgments just to say that, hey, we're part of the universe?
Yeah.
To, you know, let everybody know that, hey, we know what's going on. It's a, we're in the same universe as these guys and so on. So probably, I'm sure that even though Ant-Man is a core, you know, in the comic books, he's one of the core original Avengers. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they've kind of, like, switched them around. Instead of being in the front, he's kind of more in the middle.
Yeah.
And the whole Age of Ultron was another departure from the comic book with that character as well.
Yeah, I think it's more just a name check, just to kind of, you know, show they're playing in the same world. I think the two lines that they put in there, it brings in some good, some humorous moments, that I'm sure Ant-Man will have a ton of. But yeah, I think they're just name checking them just to show, hey, you know, we're here, they exist, and maybe to smooth that transition of him showing up in Civil War. Cause it would be a little strange if, you know, he just did his own thing and, you know, there was no connectivity between that movie and the rest of the universe, and then he just shows up. That would be a little odd.
Yeah, I'm sure that at the end of the Ant-Man movie, we'll probably see someone from the Avengers team show up, you know, whether it be Samuel L. Jackson or Chris Evans or even Robert Downey Jr., say, hey, we've been looking for somebody like you, and how'd you like to be a team player, and so on and so forth.
I do think that there's going to be a pretty significant end credits attached to this one, because I think they have a little bit of work to do before they get to Civil War.
Yeah, I think that, like I mentioned, and I'm not sure if Michael Douglas is going to come into the movies, but I doubt it. But I'm sure, like you mentioned, that they'll need, like, somebody not as a standing member, but maybe as, like, a front runner or, like, as a scout to say, hey, you know, this is going on over here and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes and takes a back seat.
Yeah.
While the rest of the group looks into it. So I think that's how they're going to work into, like, getting all rotating these characters about, so you're not having, like, a huge group doing something. You're gonna just have certain characters rotate in and out during the film as the story progresses.
Yeah, I feel like we become a Marvel news podcast.
But
every week it's like half of our movie news is Marvel. It's, but that's all anyone cares about. It's all anyone writes about.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what all the news keeps them. We don't hear that much about independent films anymore, or so-and-so has a pet project, or this actor is directing this film and whatnot. It's all Marvel and DC and sci-fi, this and that. But
Well, we do have a non-sci-fi, non-Marvel movie news segment coming up here in just a moment. I'm going to tease that. That I'm really interested to talk about, so I'll let you know when we get there.
All right, next on the list, keeping it on the Marvel theme, sorry, folks. We talked about this last week, that Ava DuVernay was in talks to direct the Marvel's Black Panther movie, but it seems like she passed on the movie for, you know, whatever reason. So Marvel's going to have to keep looking for another director.
Yeah, and that if you could tell last week by my reaction, I mean, that was an honest reaction to news that I hadn't heard. That I was pretty excited about that. I thought that would have been good. But apparently, they just couldn't see eye to eye creatively. And she thought it was better to get out now than to cite creative differences later. And I totally applaud her for that, for not getting too far, like, say, Edgar Wright.
Right.
You know, putting 4 years into something and then, you know, having to split. I think they could have done something really interesting and really different with it. And, you know, they might still. I don't know what it was that they weren't seeing eye to eye with. But I thought that really could have worked, and that kind of bums me out a little bit.
Yeah, me too. And I think it all has to do with Marvel's or Kevin Feige's, they have like a certain, requirements that have to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So they basically tell him, hey, director, your movie has to be like this or include all these bullet points or you can't do the movie.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Well, and
I'm sure that, you know, they want to keep it in line with, you know, the rest of their, like, you know, this is the background for these characters, and this is what we're going to do in the future with these characters. So you have to include this in your movie.
Yeah.
And if they don't see eye to eye, like you said, you know, they just walk away from it. And it's better to walk away before you do it than you have to put work into it and then jump out.
Well, with their track record, I put my trust in Marvel, and they're going to put something quality out there, I hope.
Yeah, I totally agree. Then, you know, they're going to keep this train chugging along for as long as possible.
And it doesn't look like it's stopping.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there'll be someone ready to jump in when possible.
Yeah, they'll find somebody.
Okay, let's change it up from Marvel and go on to some other news that Bryan Singer promoting his rogue cut of X-Men Days of Futures Past that was recently released on DVD and Blu-ray. Did you watch X-Men Days of Future Past?
Still have not seen it.
Well, the whole thing was that you know, the character Rogue, who was played by Anna Paquin, Paquin, was pretty much cut out of the entire film due to time constraints. So in this, you know, probably director's cut that they released, they put all those Rogue clips back in, and they release it as the Rogue cut. But it's, you know, it's just the director's cut with everything that, you know, they cut out. They cut out anything that had to do with Anna Paquin and put her back into the movie.
Well, I like Anna Paquin, so
yeah, I would prefer I'm a fan that of hers cut. From True Blood. And I think she's very sexy, but you know, it was a shame that she got cut out of a movie that, you know, she got paid for to do.
Did you say it was cut for just for time?
Yeah.
Only for time. How long was, do you know how long, do you remember how long it was?
It was a pretty good, long movie. I think it was like, it was going to be 3 hours, but they wanted to trim it down to 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it just, whatever she was in hit the editing room floor and, but they put her back in for the DVD release. And a lot of movies are doing that. Like, I know the movie Chappie released with, like, an extra 30 minutes of unreleased footage and alternate ending. And also, when Avengers Age of Ultron comes out on DVD, there's also going to be about an extra 30 minutes of extra footage.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if you're gonna have a 3 hour movie, it better be a damn good movie.
Right.
It better hold my attention the entire time, and the pacing better be excellent, or I'm gonna be pissed that you didn't cut some stuff out.
Yeah, and usually when they say it's for time, it's more than likely that the pacing was off, and they just needed to get rid of that pause in the momentum and to keep the pace at the right spot.
Yeah, rarely are those extended director's cuts, they're rarely better than the theatrical. I mean, there's reasons that these cuts were made, and it's almost, in my opinion, it's almost never better, the longer one.
Mm-hmm.
The one that really sticks out to me, and we talked about this movie last week, was The Town. The director's cut that Affleck put out was, I want to say 25 or 30 minutes longer than the theatrical cut. And it flows so much better, but they really wanted to get it down around that 2 hour mark for some reason.
Right.
But the director's cut, I mean, it's got so much, it's so much more rich and it just flows so much better.
Yeah. I have, James Cameron's Aliens. There was a director's version of that movie, which had extra, and I think everything that got cut out just explained the whole situation a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it does slow down, and maybe some of it was, you know, unnecessary, that's why it got cut, but I think the extra footage does explain, you know, what's going on a lot better at the sake of, you know, slowing the movie down somewhat. So sometimes some movies are better with the extra, but the majority, not so much.
Yeah.
You know, but that's, you know, that's the way it goes. That's why, you know, if you want the extra footage, you can buy it. If you don't, then don't buy it.
Physical media.
Yeah. I still buy it sometimes. But anyways.
Yeah, what else we got?
Fox released new images from the set of the Deadpool movie. And it shows Deadpool in his full costume on set in Toronto. And I have to say, the costume looks really, really good.
Oh, yes, it looks excellent.
To me, I don't know if that's Ryan Reynolds standing there or a stuntman or whatever, but whoever's in that costume looks a little bit too, not skinny, but lean.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the character, I think the character's always been represented as a very, not like brutish, hulking, muscular, person, but a very well-cut and muscled character, because in order to do the action that this character is known for, you have to be very physically fit, and having the healing factor like Wolverine kind of helps out that on that aspect as well.
I'm not so worried about what he looks like. I mean, the costume is excellent, and I'm beyond pleased with the costume. But just the tone. To me, the tone of it is the most important part. And from everything I've seen, from the little vignettes that they've done and the, you know, the test footage and all that, everything that I've seen seems to be dead on with the tone. And I never thought you would get from 20th Century Fox, I never thought you would get a Deadpool movie that had that, you know, rough rated R cut. You know, I never thought you would get that tone. And I'm so ready to see that play out on the big screen.
Yeah, so am I, and I can't wait. And it's a shame that we still have to wait until next spring for it to come out.
You know, I thought 2015 was, you know, stuffed, but 2016's lining up pretty heavy too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's good. I think it's definitely be more crowded than this year, so, you know, be prepared to
Everything's spaced well this year.
I'm
curious to see, you know, whenever the final lineup gets set for next year, how well they space everything out, and, you know, if we have anything kind of going head to head, should be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I, you know, a friend of mine from work, we had a quick discussion on it, and he told me that you don't know if they're going to CG, like, more stuff onto the costume like they do for Iron Man. So, you know, that could be just, like, the basic look, how he's seen through the actual cameras. Then, you know, during post-production, they can put more stuff on him, like more weapons and more doodads and stuff, because anyone who's a fan of the comic book character knows that he's always armed to the teeth with everything and anything he can get his hands on.
Oh, definitely.
So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, all the gratuitous violence and also the all the comedic moments that this movie's probably going to have.
Yeah. I think Ryan Reynolds is pretty perfect for that role. Much better than he is for Green Lantern.
Well, you know, he's in this new movie, Selfless, that's coming out next week.
Yeah.
And how do you think that he's going to do in that film? I don't think he has the chops to do a dramatic.
I don't like him movie. In dramatic.
Yeah, I think he needs to stick to his wheelhouse and go for, like, the, you know, the comedic action roles. That's what he's really good for.
Any wisecracking individual. And I hate that I typecast him like that, but right. He does it so well. I mean, he's really good at it. He does it really well. And it's not to say that he couldn't do anything else. I mean, he was serviceable in that Amityville Horror remake that he did. Mm-hmm. He was fine in that. But everything else that I've liked him in, he's had, you know, kind of a comedic flair to him.
Right. You know, and he's well known to ad lib.
Mm-hmm.
In his scenes too, so a lot of times, you know, he'll take it upon himself to, you know, add or change the dialogue.
Yeah.
If this situation arises, so you know that's what he's good at, and I think that's where he's probably going to stay. So you know, he'll hopefully he'll you know do good, and you know I'm not expecting the Selfless movie to rake in a lot of money at the box office, but I certainly hope that the Deadpool movie does, and that maybe they can get like an old, you know, a couple of movies with him doing that in the future.
Yeah, I can't imagine Selfless doing much at all.
Right. Because, especially coming out the week before Ant-Man, nobody's mm-hmm. going to be, everybody's going to be waiting for Ant-Man, you know, to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
On our last topic, they released a new trailer for the Rocky spinoff Creed.
Yes.
And it looks really, really good.
It looks fucking fantastic. I love Michael B. Jordan. I think, in the next 5 to 7 years, he's going to be viewed as one of the top actors in Hollywood. I personally think that he is the best young actor there is. I think he and Jennifer Lawrence, have that, you know, early, you know, 20 to 30 range locked down. There's a couple of other people, you know, young people that I really like outside of them. Miles Teller's one of them, but, Michael B. Jordan brings it every single time. And he is fantastic. The first thing I saw, I used to watch the Friday Night Lights TV show,
mm-hmm.
and he was in the final season of that, and he was the highlight of that. He's terrific in The Wire, and he was really young in that. I mean, he was, God, I don't know, 14 or 15 whenever he was in that show.
Right.
And just top-notch performance. He's been fantastic. Did you see Fruitvale Station?
No, but I did see him in Chronicle.
Yeah, he was Chronicle's in another too. One. Yeah, I mean, everything he does, he's fantastic.
And let's not forget, he's also playing Johnny Storm in the new Fantastic Four movie.
I mentioned Miles Teller, too, which is another... I mean, I really love that cast. I'm still not sold on it, just based on my bias towards the previous movies. But... And the fact that they're messing a little bit with, you know, the comics and what quote unquote should be, you know, the characters. But, I'm looking forward to that movie based on the cast. And Michael B. Jordan, getting back to this Creed trailer, he looks like he's really trained for this. I mean, he looks the part of a boxer. I mean, his movement and everything. I mean, it's fantastic. And what I don't like about Schwarzenegger, I still love about Stallone. I still love Stallone, even in bad movies. So I'm really excited for this movie.
Yeah, when I first heard about this movie, I thought that they were going to be doing like a prequel.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
you know, going into how Apollo. Came into, yeah, Apollo Creed came up and to be the boxing champion, you know, before Rocky mm-hmm. came in and took the belt. But, doing it as, you know, the, Apollo's son, who is Adonis Creed.
Great name.
You know, with, yeah, I get the theme that the, that going in there.
Yeah.
I think it is going to be really amazing, and having, Sly in there, you know, helping him out is just, you know, icing on the cake.
Just based off of the trailer and what I know of Michael B. Jordan, this is going to be fantastic. It's going to be, I think, and this is putting really high expectations on it because I like the other Rocky movies, but this is going to be, I think, the second best in that series of movies. I don't think it'll do better than the original Rocky. I mean, that's a, you know, Academy Award winning best picture movie, but I think this could be second. And I might be shooting too high. I might be putting too high of expectations or too much pressure on it for my opinion. But I think it's going to be great.
Well, even though Sylvester Stallone wrote the original Rocky and he's directed a whole bunch of movies, I'm glad to see that he's not
mm-hmm.
writing, directing. He's just, you know, acting in it. And it's directed and written by Ryan Coogler. Who's a black director.
Mm-hmm.
And, he also, did, Fruitvale Station.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that. And I'm excited about it even more.
Yeah. Cause
that's a great movie. If you have not seen that movie, it's a really good movie. I highly recommend that.
Yeah. And if they keep their, you know, the same way that they did the Fruitvale Station movie, I think that the Creed movie is going to be amazing.
Yeah, high hopes.
It comes out this year too, which I'm
yeah.
Amazed.
What's the release date on that?
It just says fall 2015, but they're estimating it's going to be November 25th.
So right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, like right before Thanksgiving. Right around there. Which I was really surprised that we haven't heard of that more of this.
Yeah, surprised before. We haven't seen anything else. You know, that's the first footage. I haven't even seen any like production stills or anything, promotional shots or anything like that. So they're coming to the game late, but they came strong.
Yeah,
came strong.
I hope that they go along like. How, in the first Rocky movie, how Mickey takes, Rocky and kind of mm-hmm. molds him into like this, like scrappy, no holds barred fighter. And, I think it's gonna, the story wise, it's gonna be a little bit more complicated than that. But, mm-hmm. you know, if they maintain like the presence, like, you know, don't let anything stop you. You know, just, you know, fight through the pain. It's going to be amazing. And I wonder, like, who's going to be, like, the bad for him to fight against.
Right.
Or are they just doing character development for, like, maybe some more movies after this? You know,
mm-hmm.
we just have to wait and see.
I'm glad to see it's not, Creed is not a concert film for the Scott Stapp band. But I'm happy about that.
Right. That's pretty much it for the movie news, unless you had anything you wanted to add.
No, I think we hit everything I wanted to talk about. Do you have the box office numbers by chance?
I sure do. And this is for the weekend of June 26th to the 28th, courtesy of Box Office Mojo. And
fantastic site.
Yeah, and Jurassic World still came in number one.
Jeez.
That last weekend with Inside Out close really behind close. At number two.
And Ted 2.
Ted 2 and the dog movie Max came in at fourth at 12 million. And then we have the spy movie holding in at fifth, like really way down at 7.9 million.
How much did Jurassic World do?
It pulled in 54.5 million, when Inside Out brought in $52.3 million.
And what's what is it? It's over 500 now, right? Domestic.
Yeah, it's.
I want to say I saw it was at like
527.
Yeah, I was gonna say about 530.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Yeah,
that's still that's still estimated, but it, you know, it's probably in there.
That's incredible.
That just shows, you know, the word of mouth of this movie, and probably all the folks with the nostalgia of seeing the previous Jurassic Park and being big fans of that, and 20 years later, you know, they come back and bring their kids and so on and so forth.
Any chance at all that it beats out both Terminator and Magic Mike this week?
Oh, I definitely think it's definitely going to do better than those two movies. And the theaters are going to keep it in the going as long as it's making money.
So do you think Terminator and Magic Mike come in at 3 and 4? Or do you think...
Well, I think Magic Mike is probably going to be number 2, and then maybe Terminator will be number 3, or if not 4, if Inside Out still hangs in there.
That's incredible. I'm curious to see how this shakes out, because
yeah.
You got two movies that should theoretically do pretty well against a movie that's in its fourth weekend and a kids movie that's in its third weekend. And yeah. I think they're all going to be pretty close to each other.
Yeah, I think this is very reminiscent of that weekend that Mad Max Fury Road came out with Pitch Perfect 2. So yeah. This is going to be a very similar thing where they're going to be close, like you said, but probably Magic Mike is going to do better over Terminator Genesis.
Which is crazy. I mean, I was telling you before we started recording, I am secure enough in my masculinity and sexuality that I can say I did not see the first Magic Mike in the theater, but I did see it on DVD, and there were a lot of boobs in it. A lot of stuff for guys in it. People don't realize that. It's not just the guys getting naked, and they don't even get naked.
Yeah,
they just, you know, down to their underwear or whatever. But there's a lot of boobs in that movie, and it was actually not an awful movie. So going into this, I was in my head, I'm like, well, shit, if I was going to pick between them, I would probably want to see Magic Mike if I could watch them in my home, you know, not out in public, right. Because I don't want to be the only guy in the theater. But if I could pick between the two of them, I would probably rather watch Magic Mike. And then my girlfriend goes and see it, and she comes home and she says, there's not a single boob in it, so I'm out. I'm out. I would rather see Terminator as much as I'm against that. And honestly, I'd rather go see Jurassic World again before I saw either one of them. So there you go. There's my thoughts on it. Does that wrap up the box office for us?
Yep. Couldn't All right, made. Everybody, we got email.
Email?
Yeah, the show got email.
We have our first ever email. Fantastic. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to cinemachatpod@gmail.com. And our first email comes from Hedonis, host of the IMHO, In My Humble Opinion podcast, fellow Vent Chat fan. It says, hey, Brent and Rob, Hedonis here. Just wanted to write in and say I'm really enjoying the show. I myself rewatched the movies you guys have talked about and I'm finding new enjoyment in them. The only reason I went to see Jurassic World is because of your review. I'm sure they're going to be sending you guys a check in the mail. Yeah, I don't think so, buddy. I will say, I scored it a bit lower than you guys. I just couldn't buy the world. If you can clone extinct animals, I just don't see how you could ever go out of business. But once I started watching it, like it was just a popcorn monster flick, I rather enjoyed it. See, yeah, to stop in the middle of his email, I think that that is the way you should go into that movie. Strictly as popcorn monster movie. It's fantastic.
Right.
Continuing on, he writes, can't wait to hear your review on Terminator. It sucks how far the franchise has fallen. The first two were excellent, but the last two have left a lot to be desired from what I've heard. This latest one is just as bad, if not worse. I think the biggest problem with the whole franchise is that they never untied from Arnold. They keep trying to shoehorn him in to the detriment of the series. There's so many places they can go with the Terminator, but they just keep going back to save John Connor. Well, I'd love to actually see the end of the war at some point, or anything that adds to the real story. I do have plans to see the new Terminator, but I'm not going to see it, or I am going to see it just because I want to see the train wreck. I just can't believe it's as bad as people have said it is. I will say that whoever made that trailer should be fired. I agree. I tried to avoid it, but it was shown in front of Age of Ultron and it totally ruined the movie for me. They give everything away. Keep up the great work. Can't wait to hear from what you guys talk about next. Adonis. All right.
That's amazing. Thanks for the email, Adonis.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. I will say the one thing, one of the things he said is, talking about Jurassic World, if you can clone extinct animals, I don't see how you could go out of business. There's the whole thing about the animals that you clone eating people.
Right.
That and the insurance that goes along with that, I could see putting you out of business a little bit. But other than that, I agree with what you said. Popcorn monster flick, excellent. If you go into expecting more than that, maybe not so much. As far as Terminator goes, we're going to get into that right now.
Yeah, and I just want to just go into real quick on what he says that, you know, don't always believe all the hype about movies being bad and whatnot. You know, if that was the case, I wouldn't see half the movies that I go and see if I listen to some of these snobby critics. You know, and I've admitted to being an action flick sci-fi fan that I'll go see a movie just because of that, regardless of if the critics say it's crappy or the actors, I don't like the actors. Like, I'll tell you right now, I have no love for Jai Courtney.
We know.
You know, I am a sole believer that he is the reason why the Die Hard franchise is now dead. Even though that they offered Bruce Willis to do another one and he turned it down, I think that he put the nail in the coffin.
You think Jack Courtney put a bad taste in Bruce Willis's mouth?
Yeah, he's like, I'm not working with this idiot anymore. He's a douchebag.
Well, that being said, I think since I haven't seen it, and I fully admit up front that I'm going to be judging this movie solely on what I've read and on the trailer, so you'll get a nice dichotomy of what Rob's talking about of judging a you know, so to speak, a book by its cover. You'll get that from me, but Rob's actually seen it, so I think we should start with kind of a short little bit of what you thought about it, and then I've got some questions for you, and then we can talk through some of them.
Okay, that sounds great. Let's get it rolling. Yes, I saw this movie Thursday night, and we're recording this on Saturday, and this movie was directed by Alan Taylor, who doesn't have that much of a filmography before, and it was written by some other people, but for whatever reason, James Cameron has some kind of credit in this movie. They probably, like, called him up and asked him, you know, a couple of questions of what he was trying to, because basically what this movie did, took the first movie and the second movie, redid both of them in like a mishmash, and through, even though a lot of people are saying that the trailers have given away the whole movie, no, there's still stuff that hasn't been revealed that takes on in this movie. And also I want to mention that if you have seen the Sarah Connor Chronicle TV series that came out, a few years ago, there's a spin from that series in this movie. So on that note, not to spoil the movie, I'm not gonna bring that up anymore. But I do feel one of the biggest mistakes that this movie did is in the casting of certain actors in the predominant roles. Any of the big name actors that have not been revealed in the trailer, I'm not going to mention, but they are completely wasted in these roles. I believe that they came in here and they were not needed. These roles could have been done by nobodies. And then the big names that they do bring in are totally horrible. definitely J.I. Courtney is miscast. Emilia Clarke does not fit this role. And Jason Clark, he doesn't do a very good job either.
Yikes.
They don't make you believe that they are the characters. You're more like, hey, you know, we gotta do this. I think Emilia Clarke does the best job out of proving it, and she's a very beautiful woman. But I don't see her really as being this strong character that was portrayed to us in the first and second Terminator movies. And that, I mentioned this last time where because they don't have the rights to use any footage
mm-hmm.
from the previous movies in this one, that some of the recreations totally took me out of the movie.
Yeah, that's what I figured would happen.
Yeah, because they did a good job at trying to redo the scenes. But if you're a Die Hard fan like me, it just throws you way out of it. And a lot of the problems that people are having with this movie is that there are a lot of unanswered questions or plot holes
mm-hmm.
That are in the movie. And I came to the realization that the movie is left open because they want to do a trilogy with this new franchise. So a lot of the stuff that is unanswered or left open is because they're going to be addressed in later movies. And you have to take that into account because this is not, you know, a lot of people are taking it as a standalone movie, but no, this is just the first part in like a new trilogy. Will they make those films after this movie? I don't know. There's probably a high probability that if it doesn't break even, that they probably won't make the other films. I know that they have not scheduled or even greenlit anything else so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we just have to wait and see. And another note is that even though Arnold is much beloved, they're going to keep bringing him back to be as the T-800 Terminator. They need to bring back Robert Patrick as the T-1000
mm-hmm.
and not replace him with somebody else.
Right.
So on that, because in all the other movies, they kept reiterating, hey, that's the way the T-800 looks.
Mm-hmm. So then they go and change the T-1000.
Right. Like, they could probably
what's
say,
the point?
They could probably say that the T-1000 acquires its form from the first human that it kills, mm-hmm. blah, 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 and then whatever the appearance of that, the human is what it takes on as its primary form.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I think that they definitely, although, you know, Arnold is Arnold, you know, that they definitely could do probably better without him, even though I'm a diehard Arnold fan, and it's hard for me to say they could have done better with a better cast is what I'm trying to say.
I gotta tell you, Rob, you have not sold me on this movie at all. Basically, what I've heard is the three main characters weren't good. The main selling point, from what I've heard, of what saves the movie, Schwarzenegger, they could have done better without him. And I know you said that they're starting a new trilogy. My first question is, does the movie stand, it kind of sounds like you probably answered it, but does the movie stand alone as a complete movie, all on its own, with not, if you didn't know anything that happened prior or anything that's going to come forward, just in this moment in time, this one movie, this 2 hours, does it stand as a complete movie?
I don't think so. You have to have seen the previous movies to get somewhat of to know what's going on. I think you'll get totally lost if you have never seen the previous movies, and you'll be utterly confused and probably dislike the movie even more.
See, it was my hope, because I kind of felt like, you know, they were using this as like a soft reboot, you know, sort of a continuation of the story, but it was going to be a way to possibly bring in new fans. And it sounds like that they're not going to hit that demographic. And it doesn't sound like they're hitting very well with the people who have liked the previous movies. So I just don't know who they're playing towards with this and who they're going, you know, the market that they're going to hit.
Well, I think they're definitely, you know, not going for the new crowd. They're definitely going for the nostalgic fans who have seen the previous movies, and especially since the first and second one were the two best ones out of the series. That's what they're trying to emulate, and then on top of that, you know, take a new spin on it to kind of keep it fresh and smart. But the thing is that they forgot to make it smart. They kind of dumbed it down somewhat to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. But on the same note, that's where they get into the issue of like unexplained occurrences, and they don't go into like why certain things are happening and how they're happening. And I'm sure that if they do make a sequel, that they'll probably go into that further, because the way that the movie ended, there is definitely open for it to continue. And to answer Hadan's question about seeing the end of the war, you got to see what happens and then for yourself, because we do see something like that, but things happen to turn things around. So, you know, not to spoil anything, you know, you have to see it for yourself, you know, and he did say he was going to go see it. So, I hope he sees it and then he, you know, can see for himself, what they did in the movie. All in all, you know, just real quick, I just want to say, if you like action flicks, you're a big fan of the Terminator series, it is worth watching. But if you're coming into this cold, this may not be the movie for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not a fan, and I'm not a fan of, you know, using movies just to set up other movies. That's the thing I love about Marvel. Marvel interconnects all of their movies. They all live in the same universe. They all share the same, you know, plot lines and stories. But within each individual movie, it's a complete movie. First and foremost, you have to deliver a complete movie to your fans. To the people who are going to come see this movie, it needs to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, that, and not have so many loose ends that you just, you know, kind of brush away by saying, oh, they're setting up other stuff. Like, it needs to be complete. And that's, I've always thought that. And I think that that's something, you know, I said earlier that we're becoming a Marvel news podcast, but that's something that they do very well. You know, they have all this stuff that connects, but they are concerned with that movie.
Well, I have to, like, explain the main story does get resolved, but then like there's like the B and C side stories that are left open. So technically it does have an ending, and I really did like the ending. Mm-hmm. that they did, and Arnold's role in the ending. But like I said, that they are, you know, side stories that are left open. So, and the reason why is that there's an after credit scene that you have to stick around and watch.
Okay.
So yeah, the main story does get resolution, but there is an after credit scene that gives you kind of like a clue of what's going to happen next, a la, you know, the Marvel movies as a reference.
So. Well, that'll be interesting if they don't wind up making the other two movies.
Yeah.
One of my other questions was someone that I was really excited to see join the cast, but I've heard nothing about. And I'm sure there's a reason I've heard nothing about him. But without giving anything away, Matt Smith.
Yeah, he's in there, but to reveal what he's doing in there would be a plot spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, I don't want to say what he's doing in there, but he is in the movie very, very briefly. You don't see very much of him, but I will confirm that he is in the movie.
Is that one of the things that they leave open for another movie?
No. He's you probably will not see him again, but
well, that's a shame.
And like I said, there's a few other big name stars that are in it, but you probably will not see them again. And, you know, they're in it very brief, very, very brief. The majority is, you know, the Jai Courtney, Emilia Clarke, Jason Clarke, and Arnold.
So all the people that you said weren't very good. That's the main.
Well, I mean, I didn't believe them as the characters. Mm-hmm. There were other actors like, you know, Christian Bale in Terminator Salvation was believable as John Connor.
Mm-hmm.
I believed Sam Worthington as the Terminator prototype,
mm-hmm,
that they had in that movie. And like I mentioned before, I think different actors in these three key roles would have probably been better.
That's a hard hurdle for a movie to overcome, though.
Right.
Whenever you've miscast your three main characters.
But like I said, if you are not a big fan like me, where, mm-hmm, I've seen these movies as I was growing up, I've seen every one of these movies
multiple times.
Multiple times, and I enjoyed it. The third movie, the fourth movie, even though they weren't, you know, as good as the first two, I watched them too, and I did get enjoyment out of this. And, you know, I did enjoy this movie as well as, you know, just a regular action flick, but I was expecting like a really a smart twist in it, and I'm not going to get into any more specifics.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a spin in there, and like I mentioned, if you've ever watched the Sarah Connor Chronicle TV series, I think it comes from that TV series. But I did enjoy it. I said, you know, a lot of the critics were overly harsh on this movie, probably because of the miscasting. But story-wise, special effects, production value, very well done, very entertaining. I wasn't like looking at the watch waiting for the movie to hurry up and finish. It kept me in my seat. I enjoyed it. I especially liked the ending a lot, the way it was resolved. So on that note, for me, it's going to be about like a 7 out of 10. And it's because I'm a fan of the series, and I think that story-wise and everything else in the movie, the movie is okay. So if you're a fan, it's worth checking out. But if you are not a fan and if you have never seen any of the previous films or even the TV series that I mentioned,
mm-hmm,
this is probably not the movie for you, and maybe Magic Mike is. So take that to the bank.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to besmirch your score, but would you acknowledge that your score is probably based on the other movies?
Yeah, I mean, probably would give it if I...
It's skewed a little bit, probably.
Yeah, because I'm a fan, and I anything with this franchise, I'm gonna go check out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So probably maybe it's more of a 6 out of 10 for maybe somebody who
Okay.
Is not a fan, or maybe even 5 out of 10. But if you're a fan, it's definitely a 7 out of 10.
Well, I came into this hoping that you would maybe talk me into wanting to see it.
Well, have you seen all the other movies?
I've seen the movies. I have not seen the TV show.
Right.
I really like the first two, and I really dislike 3 and 4.
Yeah, this movie, like I said, took everything that was good about the first and second movie and threw it in here, and then added some more stuff to kind of like freshen it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if you had not seen the Sarah Connor Chronicles, you're not gonna understand that, the plot device that they use, halfway through the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably another thing that probably throws people off this movie if you hadn't, seen the TV series.
Well, it's probably going to be a DVD for me.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you listeners shouldn't go see it. I don't want to, my opinions, to keep anyone else from going to see it.
Yeah, you can go check it out as a matinee, or if you want to wait a little while and wait for it to get into like the cheap movie theaters, you know, for like the $1, $2 afternoon movies, I think it's definitely worth watching it. Like I said, if you're a fan of the series and you know everything that is the Terminator universe, then you have to see it, because I would say, like, from the middle of the movie to the end, it's totally fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a must see, even though the trailers did reveal a lot of the action scenes. Mm-hmm. There's still some stuff at the end that hasn't been revealed and is worth watching.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, there is a bonus post-credit scene.
Yeah, so stick around.
Stick around and watch that if you want a little clue to what they might do in the next movie.
See, that's the benefit to watching at home. I can just fast forward through the credits.
Right.
And I'm right there. Bingo. You just sold me even more. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I obviously, I'm still not going to see it. You haven't convinced me. And I heard a lot of negative and not a lot of positive. Like you said, for fans.
Yeah, if you're a diehard fan, it's a must see. If not, or if you're new to the franchise, then
save your money.
Yeah, save your money. Go watch Terminator 1 and 2, and then maybe come back to this and mm-hmm. watch it, and then. Yeah, and if you haven't seen the Sarah Connor Chronicles, I definitely recommend go checking it out. I don't know if it's on Netflix or Amazon or any of the other streaming services, but mm-hmm. Definitely go and watch it if it is out there.
Follow us on Twitter at CinemaChatPod. You can follow me, Brent. You can follow me on Twitter at XNotMalcolm.
And you can follow me at RobBap1 on Twitter.
Like I said, if you want to send in an email for us to read, like our dear friend Hedonis did, you can email us at cinemachatpod@gmail.com. And check out the website, cinemachatpodcast.com. It's got all the links right there. You can subscribe on any of your devices. You can listen on Stitcher. And while you're at Stitcher and iTunes, feel free to drop us a little review on there. We'd really appreciate it. Share it with your friends. Tweet it out. Get to us. Let us know what you thought. Also, let us know what you thought about how this episode went, because we might be doing future episodes in the same kind of question and answer format if it's a movie that one of us doesn't want to see. So we're curious to see how you all thought this went. Let us know. Rob, it's been fun.
Always a pleasure.
We'll check you all out next week. Have fun.
See you next time.